Good morning, everybody. This is a Monday that might go down in history just as being one of the weirder shows. Not because of our guests, but just some of the background stuff. Good morning, Roberta. How are you?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. So we'll be doing this a little bit over the phone, and then we'll be doing a little bit of this in studio. We've not tried this one before, so thanks for the experience.
Well, I apologize for the little added technical difficulties.
No.
Thanks for being accommodating.
No. This is called a challenge, not a problem. And this way, I get to choose whatever question that the book has. Oh, okay. Here we go. Because one of the things that we do, oh, by the way, this is Roberta from St. Joe's, everybody, driving safely on her way to the studios, correct?
Exactly. All right.
We kind of start the shows with a little, why do we say that? And the one that I drew for you is, why do we say someone has a nose for trouble?
I don't know the answer to that question, Brian.
All right. As noses go, a little biology as well as situational humor here. As noses go, those of most humans are second or third rate. Many wild animals depend on their sense of smell for such information about the outside world, as do most breeds of dogs. But for typical people, the nose is simply an air vent in which the organs of smell are located deep inside. The range of sensitivity to odors is extremely wide. Some people react to scents, and others can't hardly detect them. Capacity to anticipate the coming of unpleasant events is an equally big variable. Unable to explain special sensitivity in this area, common folk quipped that it must be due to the keenness of smell. And as a result, anyone regarded with a special ability to detect impending problems is admired for having a nose for trouble.
How relevant, Brian.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while we hit it. Oh, boy. So I would suspect that over the weekend, you were listening to some of the updates out of either Dr. Fauci or Scott, what's that fellow's name? Gottlieb, I think. Some of the spokespeople for the government with the COVID and all the various spurs off of that. What kind of read do you have after the information being shared this weekend?
Yeah, I actually, one of my sources this weekend is every week the CDC and a group called IDSA, which is the Infectious Disease Society of America, has a webinar. So I had the opportunity to listen to a bunch of national experts. What I'm hearing is, certainly while we are seeing the impact of the Delta virus across the country, and we know that it's severely impacting hospitals and the people who are charged with caring for people in hospitals, that at the same time, Omicron, the new variant, is spreading very quickly throughout the world and throughout the country. And we know, without a doubt, it is much more contagious than Delta or the original COVID. We're waiting to understand a little bit more about its virulence.
Virulence, in normal guy terminology, is...
Yeah, in terms of how often it makes people sick enough to go to the hospital.
Oh, thank you.
or for people to die. No, that's good. But what we do know, there's some really important information coming out. There was an example of a Christmas party that happened with 117 people in this private room in a party, and not masked. And because they had been vaccinated. And 70% of the people caught the virus from this one person who was in the room. The good news was that the people who were vaccinated and boosted, it didn't result in hospitalizations, any of those people. What was more worrisome is how rapidly it spread, and that in addition, some people got it in the same restaurant even after that party left, so ventilation is an issue. And I think that the learning from that is, vaccination is very powerful still, even with Omicron, in keeping people out of hospitals and keeping people from dying. That's huge. But that because it's so rapidly spread, we have to worry about those people who are more vulnerable, either who haven't had the vaccine or whose immune system is so impaired because of underlying illness.
And we'll take it from there. We'll take it from there when we come back from the break, and maybe we'll even see you. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:25. Guess who's here?
It's Roberta.
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the speed of, I guess, the infection?
Yeah, it's
or the pass-through. And I think that that's kind of starting to mainstream in the news media a little bit. But the message that I'm taking away is that this isn't nearly as nasty as the other two. And that it goes through fast, and it's there, it's quick, but it's not, you don't have to lose sleep over this one.
So that's
is that
not,
fair?
It's not clear yet. We are going to know more in a couple of weeks. In South Africa, that was true, but South Africa had a combination of a lot of natural immunity and a lot of vaccinations. So if you have had COVID or if you're vaccinated, I would say that that's true. You can get it, but likely, you know, most people will do pretty well. Our problem here in Humboldt is so many people are still either unvaccinated or haven't had it yet because we're spread out. And that's
called a plus in a lot of books.
Yes. Yeah. But that's why we really need to understand what it can do for people who are unvaccinated. And we believe that it will cause some serious illness in those settings. We're waiting to learn more.
Now, you come from a background of knowing about this stuff, right?
I mean, I'm an infectious disease doc.
All right. So, you know, a little bit more up the scale on the knowledge side rather than, you know, some of the other folks. As you look at this, I've had this question, I guess, now for almost 2 years. How does this stack up against influenza?
Oh,
much worse. The week in, week out, year in and year out, we've never seen general public, haven't seen those numbers, and that's been a question. You know, is this five times worse, two times worse, the same as?
So how does it stack? This is phenomenally worse than influenza. I don't have a number, but I can tell you from just let's say a hospital perspective. So our real world locally here, you know, in our hospital, would we see occasional deaths related to influenza normally? Yes, we would. Usually in people who are elderly or who have underlying lung disease.
This kind of similar profiles to what
yes.
the COVID has knocked out.
Okay. But what's different now is that COVID is causing way more hospitalizations. You know, at our worst in Humboldt County, you know, I think between my two hospitals, we had about 38 people in the hospital, many of them on ventilators. We never, ever see anything like that. It would be unusual to have, you know, maybe you'd get one or two in a flu season, but nothing like that. And Mad River had some patients as well, and some patients actually got shipped out of the area. The severity of the illness is profound. People end up on ventilators for extended period of time.
So this gets into the lungs?
Yes. Yeah, it causes...
That would kind of make sense, they're being on a ventilator, but nobody's talking about the basics of this.
Yeah, so let's go back to influenza. You know, in healthy people, it makes you miserable, high fever, you feel crappy, and then you get better. Very rarely, in a very small amount of the population, people can get sick enough to die. With COVID, what we're seeing is initially we saw the really biggest impact in the elderly. We were seeing deaths in people who are 80 and more. And so there were people who felt, well, I'm strong.
Cheap shot, particularly in New York State.
I'm not going there.
Okay, fine.
But, you know, so I think some people took some solace in it is a problem, but I'm healthy and it's not going to impact me. Then over time, as we saw more and more spread, we see hospitalizations and death, significant numbers in people who are in their 50s and 60s and 70s and who don't have underlying illness.
Because this thing was mutating or enough times being exposed? Why would somebody who didn't get it early get it 5-6 months later?
So some of it was a lack of exposure. I would say locally we were awfully good about keeping away from other people, and, you know, there were...
Playing by the rules.
Yeah, we really did. Yeah. And we took it seriously, and it was pretty impressive. And we, you know, and there was good contact tracing. So we would call, you know, public health would call, and if you're, you know, if you had it, say, who are you around? Tell them they need to watch for this or stay away from their kids or their elderly grandparent. So a lot of good work was done to contain it, but then it became uncontainable, mostly with Delta. So the viruses, all viruses mutate all the time. We think of evolution as like, oh, yeah, Darwin talked about it, and then we came and we're done now, right?
Yeah. Calluses on the back of the knuckles and then on the bottom of the feet. Yeah, yeah.
But the viruses are always changing, and sometimes those changes make it more dangerous.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking. Well, I don't know. What are we talking about? We're talking about all kinds of stuff this morning. Why don't you, what is your full title, Roberta?
I'm the Chief Executive of Providence and Humboldt. So I'm over Redwood Memorial Hospital and St. Joseph Hospital.
Et cetera, et cetera.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It keeps me busy.
As you look at the community's response in our area, and, you know, you've got other modules throughout the country you can reference also in your buds, you said earlier that we did a pretty good job early on.
Yes.
Okay, so we hit whatever the level was, and we took the arrows and the cuts and all that kind of stuff from how things were implemented in California. Now, what are you finding from your buds that the folks that have chosen not to be vaccinated, why? What are their thoughts, or do we even know what their thoughts are?
You know, I think we try to understand it because I think in among the medical community and the scientific community, there's overwhelming a belief that vaccination will protect individuals and it will protect our society and our economy. Things will be more normal the more people get vaccinated. So we want to understand why people don't want to. Some of it, I believe, is just, you know, my body, my choice, kind of the thought that you shouldn't
tell me. We've heard that one for a little while.
Right.
Yeah.
But it does negate the fact that when a lot of people have COVID, that it not only affects them and their family and maybe their place of work, but it does impact, you know, our greater society and certainly our healthcare system. So when we have, at any hospital locally and across the country, when you have a moderate number of patients in the hospital with COVID, they tend to be in their intensive care unit because they're so sick. Many others in other hospital units. It means there's a bed and a workforce and caregivers who aren't available to take care of people who are having a heart attack or trauma or cancer surgery. So there is a big impact. So we want people to understand that. There are some things about risk. So in pregnancy, for instance, COVID vaccine is recommended for pregnant women, and yet pregnant women are always very concerned about the vulnerability of...
Or those looking to get pregnant. I mean, that's another subset
group.
That's
right.
There. Yeah.
And so what we know is, that when women get COVID and they're pregnant, that their babies can die in utero more often. During the pregnancy, they can have a death of the baby far more often than people if they get COVID than a normal. So that is not well understood. And frankly, the best way to protect the baby is if the mom is vaccinated when the baby's born, and especially if it's breastfed, it's got immunity. So I think that there's fear about, will it hurt me? Will it hurt my unborn child? Will it, impact fertility? There was some crazy rumor about that, which we have no evidence of.
Well, and the thalidomide scare of the 50s, that's still in the cultural conscious, even though
yes.
A lot of us may not have been around by that time. We certainly have read the stories and seen the impacts.
And actually thalidomide and things like it, and that was mostly in Europe where it was given. The FDA was much more restrictive. But that's why I used to do clinical research. And really so much of our research on new agents or drugs, first of all, start in non-pregnant people. Let's see about the safety. But then we look at pregnancy very carefully to understand the impact. And then you have to weigh the impact if you don't do it.
Right. It's a risk. Benefit analysis.
Absolutely.
Which sounds weird, but I think we all do that instinctively anyway.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the numbers that are out, we obviously most of our media is going to be American focused. Most of the social stuff is going to be media focused in America also. Internationally, I don't believe we've heard anything about South America. Maybe a little bit Central America because of the Mexicans and some of the back and forth across the border. Africa, we heard a little bit about South Africa, but I haven't heard anything about Congo or Egypt or any of the other countries. Would it make more sense for Americans to get, global thought here, for Americans to get the second round, the booster, or for these countries to get their first?
So it's a good question. I'd like to see both happen. We've had the vaccines long enough where
you're not the queen yet. You're just the CEO.
I know. if I were queen for a day, you have to look country by country. I would say that the what we know about. So first of all, everyone should get their second. It's really should they get their third booster. So your protection just falls off too quickly with a single dose. So for those people, like in Humboldt, about 60% have had two at least or three, and then there's another 6 or 7% who only had one dose. And we know the people who have got one dose that their benefit from it starts really falling off quickly. The people who got
that's the one of two.
Yeah, yeah.
Option, not the one of one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also people who had COVID, they're protected for a little while, but not that long either. So we need to get that up, I think, just to preserve our healthcare infrastructure and our way of life. I think for some countries, this definitely is rampant across the world. We see it everywhere. We see Omicron traveling fast. I think what's interesting, though, is mobility. Air travel, mobility is one of the vectors. Like we think of malaria, the vectors of mosquito. But so in countries where people are isolated and they're not getting visits from those of us who are, much more mobile, getting in airports and flying to someplace and bringing it back, it may hit later. But we need global distribution.
It's kind of like the Hawaiian approach. Shut everything down and we'll just be ourselves. Doesn't last for too
exactly.
long, typically.
Yeah, it's not forever, and people do need to be vaccinated no matter where they are.
What happened to herd immunity? We had that number had been thrown out, 70%, 75%, something in that neighborhood, and then don't have to worry about it. It's just going to die a natural, ugly death.
Yeah, so herd immunity depends on, you've got to have a disease where the immune response means you'll never get it again. Now, we know that there are some things, like if you get chickenpox, you're not going to get it again unless you get shingles. Or if you got measles even, you don't get it again. But if you get the common cold, you get it again and you get it again. And, you know, COVID is really a coronavirus that's related to the common cold. So what we know is it, while some immunity helps, it makes it less serious. It doesn't mean it won't come back. And now it's gotten, you know, it keeps changing. So it's getting, Delta is more dangerous. Omicron is spreading faster. And so I don't think it's a one and done.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Roberta, and I know you got a hyphen. That's all that I remember.
It's Roberta Luskin Hawk.
Luskin.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay. What background is that?
So Luskin is Russian Jewish, and okay. Hawk was my ex. But my daughter's a hawk, so I can't.
Not going to drop it. you still need the talons anyway every once in a while, right? So as you look at some of the stories that are being reported and the slants that are going, we hear that kids, little guys, don't worry about them. They're not suffering. They're not exposed. They're not going to get this. If they do, it's kind of like a regular cold and blah, blah, blah. True or false?
Most kids have very mild illness with this. There are a few who develop some more severe complications. And so even from Humboldt, we've had to send some kids out of the area to the children's hospital because they got sick enough. Big impact. But in general...
Does it manifest itself the same way?
No, they get some weird rashes and vascular disease in their hands and feet sometimes. So it's a little different.
So on the extremities, then?
Yeah.
Huh.
But they, you know, high fevers and some other things. But, you know, rarely children have died of this. Some children get sick. Most do pretty well. I think the reason that vaccines are recommended age 5 and up is really that... they'll spread it to grandma and grandpa, and you know, so it's just trying to slow this thing down.
Is it realistic to expect that it will be slowed down, or is this one that we're just going to have to make it through?
Well, I think we will end up, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with having to get a shot every year, like the flu. You know, the flu, the reason you need a shot every year is it mutates and it changes, and this virus is clearly capable of doing that. I do think what we're going to see is we're going to see with Omicron, because it spread so fast, we're going to see a lot of people with infection in January. And we don't know how many.
Why January?
Because Omicron is spreading in the country. It's here, so it's mere presence. It'll spread fast. Add that on top of all the gatherings around the holidays, it'll just make it spread faster. And then, you know, we'll see impact on people who are vaccinated should be mild. What we don't know for sure is unvaccinated, how many people will need hospitals or die. And then some of it may calm down quickly. The hope is, you know, surge quickly, might come down quickly, and then we'll see where we're at. And if there's a next variant and what that does.
Aren't there always deviations or mutations?
Yes. Every
everything
every
all
cycle.
The time?
Not all viruses do that well. But literally, it's like a factory, and every time a new copy is made, there's a chance for a mistake. With this virus, those mistakes happen, and what we've seen is they generate different, you know, kind of profiles that we'll have to understand, and that people are already working on. Do we need a slightly different vaccine to be even better?
But that's why I was wondering if these mutations happen, is it a whole different than response that's necessary, or do you let it play out?
So that's really important. It's I think that we will know more in a couple weeks when we see how the unvaccinated people do? That is the real question here. We know there's going to be a lot of infection. We don't know exactly how sick they're going to
get. What that means, yeah.
But judging from others, right now there's no signal that it's dramatically better. I saw some data over the weekend. It looks similar, you know, to Delta in some ways. So I think that the response is going to be masking where you can, doing vaccines. The vaccines will be improved. The reason we need a booster is that the vaccines aren't quite as good against this as the original strain, but a new vaccine will come up. And I think like flu, the flu changes constantly. So every year we change the vaccine to work better.
Now, we've heard with flu a lot of times, and maybe this is cold, not flu, vitamin C, orange juice. Does that help with this stuff at all, or is that just kind of
No, there's
goofy?
No evidence, unfortunately, that it does.
All right. So we can't eat our way out.
I wish we could.
Take it a shot. Take it a shot. Turkey, ham, or roast beef? Well, probably not ham, huh?
I eat ham.
Okay.
I'm a very liberal
gotcha.
Jewish person.
Yeah.
It's probably, I'm actually going to be at Friends, so whatever they serve,
I see.
I'm good with it.
You're in the mooch category. Fine.
Absolutely. I'm getting invited out.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.